As someone who is in the industry, I know you said that you guys are kind of, not to, you know, borrow terminology from the military, but you're kind of on the front lines of, like, dealing with this in certain ways, whether that's, like, talking to people or educating them. But on a policy level, what do you think would be most helpful or most effective in preventing the kind of violence that we saw in Las Vegas? And I know each of these are different.
I think across the board for pretty much any of these incidents, I go back to the same thing. You know, making sure that our background check system is working effectively, working in a timely manner. Another thing, too, is, you know, maybe we need to start working on training and requirements for people to purchase firearms. Nothing so astronomical that a good, responsible firearm owner wouldn't want to participate in. You know, something that is actually useful, not just a, you know, check the box kind of thing. Some of the other things that we were talking about too, and this goes kind of both ways. I'm all for changing those software issues of, you know, policy and training, but there's going to have to be probably a little bit of give on the other side too. You know, if a gun person is going to submit themselves to training, licensing, and extra stuff than they do now, you know, maybe we need to talk about interstate acceptance of those training requirements so that, you know, maybe if you want to carry concealed, it's not state by state and you're always playing this guessing game anymore. Maybe it's like a driver's license. You know, I'm all for taking a driver's ed style firearms course and then being able to drive in whatever state I go to. So I think that on both sides, there's going to have to be some compromise and some conversation. And I think that if people look at the bigger picture, the overall benefit is going to be positive. You know, even if someone says, well, I don't want a person from New Hampshire carrying in my state of Nevada, yeah, but the safety factors will be increased just through training alone. So, yeah.
And what do you say to someone who, like, often on the side of those who want to restrict or enact harsher gun laws, will say, well, why does someone need an AR-15? Why does someone need a military-style assault rifle? Like, how would you respond?
Right. So a couple of things that we always need to make sure whenever we talk about this stuff is we get our terminology right and we get our concepts right. Now, this whole incident has actually really helped people understand the difference between semi-automatic and fully automatic, which in the past incidents you've had news outlets come and say that they're using fully automatic weapons or automatic weapons, and it's a misnomer. So this has done a lot better for that. When it comes to firearms technology, again, I like to take a step back. If we took a soldier from the Civil War and showed him an M1 Garand from World War II, it would blow his mind. And he'd probably say, nobody ever needs to own a firearm like this. So again, we can't try to use technology as a base because it's always going to be improving. We need to work at kind of everything that surrounds that technology because it's always going to be moving forward.
And do you have any thoughts on some of the other things that people will raise is that, well, you can put as many rules in place as you want, and the bad actors are still going to find ways to circumvent the system.
Right, and that's true, but that doesn't exist in a vacuum. I saw something on the internet, and it was in a joking manner, but it said, you know, oh, you know, if we took away all firearms, he would have still just, you know, murdered people from the 32nd story of a building with something else. And that kind of strikes a certain point where, all right, that's not an absolute truth that bad people are going to do bad things no matter what. They may do it to a lesser degree or to a harsher degree, depending on how we restrict. I don't think that you can't look at hardware at all, but I think that the bigger long-term solution is to look at training, safety, background checks.
Just given the kind of opposition that we've seen at the national level, at least, to expanding background checks or focusing, are you at all optimistic that there would be, just given what we've seen in the last few years in particular, any more, like, openness to getting those kinds of measures passed?
I think there has to be. You have to be open to looking at the background check system, looking at, again, training and those things like that, because those are what's going to, in my opinion, yield better results. And especially the more these things happen, you can't just keep burying your head in the sand and saying, well, nothing you can do. Guns are guns. People are people. I'm sorry. You're going to have to find some sort of solution, whether it be administrative or even just policing your own community. Not policing in that term, but, you know, taking care of your own gun community if you're a fan of guns and understanding the gun community, even if you're not a fan of guns. That's the only way we're going to find a solution, that's for sure.